assembly hall. So for the Lord, it's not about doing something wonderful, because that's he is just wonderful. Whatever he does is wonderful. So that's not special. You know, it's like saying, you know, I'm going to be special because I got two arms or something, you know. I got two arms and a head. And everybody goes, woo, like that, you know. So for the Lord, special is standard, normal, because he is the ultimate mystic. He is the ultimate yogi. So there's nothing about him that's not wonderful, right? He's unlimited. He's all-pervading. He knows everything, sees everything, right? So this is him. So if someone's like that, then what is special to someone like that? Right? Like we mentioned the other day, there was a king in India back, I think, I'm not sure when it was, but early part of the last century. He died of boredom because he was so rich. And whatever he wanted to do or get done or buy or experience, he could do it, and there was nothing left, right? So that's one problem. When your bucket list runs out, then you're dead, right? So that's what happened to him, right? So he died of boredom because there was nothing he could think of to do, right? So that's the principle, is that having everything, being, and it's not even that he has everything, he is everything, right? So then the uniqueness comes out, is that for him, the specialness is the interaction with the devotees. That's what makes the difference for him. Because, you know, what does it mean? We take about if I can control more, then I can enjoy more. But Krishna already is the supreme controller and supreme enjoyer. So therefore, for him, what's special is interacting with the pure devotees. Right. So, because with his greatness and his specialness, that's what he does to take care of everybody else. The non-devotees, he takes care of by his specialness and wonderfulness. Right? He's God. So as Paramatma, he's pervading everything. He is in every atom, between every atom is Brahman. So that's how he deals with those who are not devotees. Because that's the only way they can understand him. They can only understand him through matter or through his position, right? Because I'm trying to become big. So whoever is the biggest, then that must be God, right? Just like the king. If his house is not bigger than your house, no one will respect him, right? So it's just part of his, he has to have a bigger house. Otherwise, you'll think, well, my house is bigger than him. What's special about him, right? So why is he the king? Why not me? I got a bigger house, right? So that's the thing, is he has to show all these things just for the materialist, because the concepts of Brahman and Paramatma are only of interest in the material world. In the spiritual world, nobody cares about these things. They only care about him as a person. So it's about the personal relationship. That's all that he's interested in. So that's what makes this so special, is because anyway, Hiranyakashipu is going to be destroyed by the material energy anyway. But he comes to personally to take care of Prahlad Maharaj. Right? That's what's special. Hiranyakashipu dying, no one's going to be shocked if Hiranyakashipu dies. Right? And even if it's some amazing way, like I was, you know, reading something that some guy tried to, he really wanted to kill himself. Right? So he puts a rope around his neck, he takes poison, and he has a gun. So he jumps off the cliff, right? Like that. And then goes to shoot himself, because the rope, when it hits, then he misses and shoots the rope, right? So then he falls into the water, right? The ocean's below. And because of this force of hitting the water, he vomits and all the poison comes out, right? So, you know, all three didn't work. So, but he did die of freezing to death in the ocean. Like that. That probably wasn't planned, right? You know, so we can see there's all kinds of amazing things that could happen to Hiranyakashipu, right? You know, you could choke on a peanut, you know, anything like this, right? That's a popular one. Mafia guys always choke on peanuts, right? Right? So the thing is that he is doing this for Prahlad. Because he doesn't, no matter how big Hiranyakashipu is, Maya can still kill him. But it's to make something amazing for the devotees that he comes himself personally. That's the special thing. That's the specialness that Krishna does. So for Krishna, that's what's fun. Because otherwise, then he can take care of everything. His material energy is already taking care of everything. He doesn't have to do anything. He just desires, it happens. So we see is that even his Ichha Shakti, which is what manifests the spiritual world, the devotees, all the pastimes, that extends into the material creation, that his desire for the living entities to come back to him in the spiritual world. That's what he's hoping for. So therefore he does these wonderful things just so that devotees will be inspired. They'll hear these pastimes, talk about these pastimes. It's just like you see, no matter how many times we hear this story, it's always nice, it's always special. So that's the thing, it tracks the mind. Because otherwise the mind is attracted to matter. Right? And the idea that we're the supreme. But this way we attract that Krishna's more attractive than matter, and he's more supreme than us. Right? So that's how it works. Does that make sense? Right? Yeah. And then Brahma, because he's also a devotee, then he's keeping his vrata intact, I mean his blessing intact, because of his position. He's Brahma as the creator of the universe. So keeping all those things intact, then he performs his pastimes. So now we see is now, why would it be in this context? Why would this come out this way? So we see, according to yoga, the Kapila Muni's explaining that the topmost yogi, he's able to see Paramatma and the soul everywhere. Right? That there's not any situation he can't see the Lord and the living entities. So because of that, then this example is, or this line is taken. Where is the Lord? He's everywhere. Right? Because, you know, you're going to say, oh no, he's in Vaikuntha, he's doing this. It, you know, is that going to work for Hiranyakashipu? It may work. Oh great, is that far away from here? Oh yeah, that's so far away. Great, okay, so he's not around here, so I'll go on being my demon self. No, it's about he's everywhere. He's in everything. Because he's asked about it, where do you get this power? So the power of everything is the Lord. He's pervading everything. And if you deal properly according to the nature of power, then that manifests. Does that make sense? Right? Just like the example is given, there's money. Right? Now you know how to deal with money, then you have it. You don't. The same situation, one person's making money, another one's not. Why is that? Because you know the nature of economics. So if you know the nature of the Lord, then one's always connected with the Lord. So then following one's duties, then those qualities manifest through that individual. So it's not one has to be, one simply has to be doing what one should be doing. Right? And even that, because it's the material world, you're trying to do the best of what you should be doing. Because the perfection generally is not to be found. Right? Everything perfect. You give perfect examples so you can get a clear idea. But then you have to apply it into the less than perfect situations we find ourselves in. Right? So then, Prahlad Maharaj, the situation he's in, you would definitely say is not ideal. Right? If you were saying, you've just been, you know, your teachers have just come to your parents and told them, you know, that you're not doing well in school, and your father is so upset he's ready to kill you. And this is literally not just, oh, I'm going to kill you, you know, and that means, you know, he's just upset. This means literally. And not only that, as you can say, you could take his word for it because he's already tried so many times before. right? As Maharaj is explaining, right? And not necessarily, you know, great ways. You wouldn't want to get stomped on by elephants or boiled in a pot of oil or, you know, all these different things. So he's tried. So he's good on his word. Hiranyakashipu says he's going to do this. He means it, right? So this is not an ideal situation. But in that situation, Prahlad Maharaj is still, he's peaceful. So that's what Hiranyakashipu wants to know. Where is that power coming from? So much anxiety, so much difficulty. And he's still remembering the Lord. Right? And we can say, why is he dealing nicely with Hiranyakashipu? Because, okay, he sees the Lord everywhere, but, you know, Hiranyakashipu is not what you call your poster father, right? You know? You know, it's like when Father's Day comes, you're not going to see posters of Hiranyakashipu around, right? They're going to choose someone else, right? So what was that? Because he sees the souls everywhere. Because if you're seeing the spirit soul, what's to get upset about? If dead matter does something you don't like, what's the problem? It's dead matter. The soul is beyond. The soul is fully conscious. Right? The soul is spiritual. So when one sees like that, then why would one get bothered by anybody? And if one sees the Lord everywhere, one is always fearless. Right? Because fear comes when you don't know what's going to happen. I'm worried my identity, as I see it, there's going to be something lost in it. Right? I have a job. I identify with this job. I get money from this job. I may lose the job. I'm fearful. Because I don't know, if I lose the job, what will be my identity? You understand? Right? Or you walk down the wrong alley and things are getting a little spooky. So then you're worried what's going to happen, right? Because you've heard that people walk down these alleys, it wasn't good for their health, right? So you're worried what's going to happen, right? Does that make sense? So fear because, but if you're always in contact with the Lord, you see the Lord in every situation, there's no fear, right? So these things, even though they may seem academic, but here, Prahlad Maharaj is applying it. He gets the benefit that the Lord personally comes and takes care of him. Because he knows the Lord will protect. The ultimate is, I'll always be absorbed in the Lord and be engaged in His service. Right? But the next is that the situation I'm in, you know, I'm doing service in that, so if the Lord wants it to continue, it will. He's the controller of it. So he has full faith in the protection of the Lord. Well, Hiranyakashipu, he's fearful because he is in control of it himself. That's his idea. He's protecting himself. He's creating everything for himself by himself. You know, so this is, you know, the old, how you say, the previous governments, the Indian adage, you know, be Hiranyakashipu by Hiranyakashipu, right? It's all about Hiranyakashipu. He's doing everything, right? Right, so then, so when this comes, that here's something that he can't control, though he's controlled everything in the universe, all the planets, all the demigods, everything. Right, they all do what he wants. So now, then the problem comes up is, but his son, right, and his son is small, he's only 5 years old, and he can't control him. Despite his father's, you know, making it clear he's not so interested in Vishnu, his son is preaching and, you know, doing all kinds of nice things and having influence. So Hiranyakashipu has no influence over this child, and this child has influence over others. So this is something that Hiranyakashipu's never come across before, because he's controlled everything else in the universe. So then he's fearful. So therefore then, now he wants to deal with it. Being a Kshatriya, if there's a problem, you just deal with it, right? Does that make sense? It's not that he figures, okay, we just will sweep it under the rug and hopefully it goes away, right? No, it's here, we'll deal with this. Okay, so where is this person? Right? You claim it's a person, where is this person? I don't see this person. right? And if he's everywhere, then he in his mind is thinking he's joking on about his child's statement, right? That he's in, okay, is he in this pillar, right? Because people aren't in pillars, right? You say he's the supreme person, so generally they walk around in the hall, not in the, you know, Hiranyakashipu is the supreme person in his mind. He walks around the hall. He's not inside the pillar. So he's thinking that he's, you know, finding fault in what Pallad. So he says he's in the pillar, but Pallad said, yeah, he's in the pillar. Because he can actually see. Right? So Hiranyakashipu can't see Pallad in the pillar. I mean, can't see Vishnu in the pillar. He can't see Vishnu, period. Right? Like that. But so, because Pallad can see him there, therefore the Lord personally appears. Otherwise, the Lord is there as the potency of the material elements that make the pillar and hold up the roof. That's power. And Krishna is that. So he's just there as a pillar. But that he's there as a person, that's because Palladmara sees him as a person. And because of that, he's manifest. He didn't manifest as a person because of Hiranyakashipu. We think, oh, he's such a rat bag, so the Lord came to kill him. No, he's such a rat bag, why would Krishna bother to appear? Right? Just like we said, there's plenty of peanuts. Right? And if that's not good enough, hey, he can choke on an almond or something, a pistachio, right? You know, okay, you know, let's get a little more fancy here. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is it's because of Prahlad, and how he appeared in this way is because of the Prahlad. So that affection that Prahlad has for him and is seeing him as a person everywhere. Then the Lord appears as a person even from such an unsuspecting place as the pillar. Right? And because Hiranyakashipu, he could just step out of the pillar like that, you know, come on, hi, you know, like this. But because Hiranyakashipu is taking the mood he is, so he attacks the pillar just to show that, you know, he's powerful, nobody's there. But he's a bit surprised when he breaks the, you know, he hits the pillar. And then this sound comes. So it's not so much that he hit the pillar and broke the pillar. He hit the pillar, so then the Lord, then he's going to appear, right? And then the Lord comes out of the pillar. So Hiranyakashipu doesn't even get the credit for breaking the pillar, and then the Lord was standing there, right? Because how is that going to, you know, that's not going to look good, right? So that's the whole point, is that it's just, no, the Lord's independent. But his independence, he brings in line with the desire of the devotee. That's what's special. That's why Krishna is asking us to surrender to him, because that's what he's going to do for us. Right? In a relationship, it's the proper balanced relationship means what you're expecting, what you're going to do is what you would expect the reciprocation to be. And vice versa, right? So if the Lord is fully surrendered to his pure devotees, then why wouldn't the pure devotees be fully surrendered to him? That's a balanced relationship. Then you have something to work with, right? Otherwise, and the Lord surrendered, we're not, then how's that going to work out? Right? So we're thinking, why I have to do so much? No, the Lord's already done, whatever he's asked us to do, he's already doing it. And he's been doing it since time immemorial. We're the one that's not doing it. Right? So all it is just us completing the other half of the relationship. Not that we have to start something new and create something. No, we just have to comply and the relationship is complete. It's already there. Right? And it's just like dinner sitting on the table. It's already offered, everything. You just have to sit down and eat. But it's not, why do I have to sit? Why do I have to be forced to sit down and eat? You know, well, you know, I am independent. I can do as I like and all that. Yeah, and you can starve too. So why don't you sit down and eat? You understand? That's what we're being asked to do. So we're saying, wow, that's an absurd example. You know, of course I'd want to sit down and eat. But if you understood the benefit of pure devotion, of course one would want to surrender. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the idea. So this is... proving the statement is out of affection, not because it's there, it's a rule, it has to be maintained. Right? That's a little bit more with Brahma, because being the manager of the universe, he says something, it should happen. Otherwise people will think, well, you know, how can we trust anything? But Prahlad Maharaj is just purely affection. Right? Because you can see the affection is greater because after killing Hiranyakashipu and everybody else who didn't appreciate that, then Nrisingadev sat on Hiranyakashipu's throne. And then the only one that could come up is Prahlad Maharaj, because it was purely a bond of affection. While with the demigods headed by Brahma, then there's the element of that reverence and that he's God, and so therefore God's in a form that's really not happy. So nobody wants to get too close, right? Because we see, when Indra gets unhappy, what happens? Right? Sends out his clouds, he tries to make trouble. Right? So like that, you wouldn't want to get too close. Right? That's how they feel. But for Prahlad Maharaj, it's just affection. So he's right there. So that's why you see is with Brahma following those rules, he's a devotee, but it's formal. But with Prahlad, it's not formal. Therefore, something coming out of the pillar and that then is very nice. Does that make sense? Yeah. So any questions on this? Comments? Yes. So funny, the mic's there.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. We see that in the pastime, not only does Prahlad not get killed by all of the demons and all the attempts, but he doesn't seem to even get hurt. So his...
Is that a problem?
No, that's great.
Yeah. So that's why this concept and the being real in the movies. I mean, first of all, the movie's not real in the first place. So that there is some guy that can himself single-handedly, sneak up on and in direct combat that wipe out 50 guys that are specially trained. That's not real, but to make it real, then, he gets shot once or something, right? So the Vedic doesn't worry about that because it's about rasa, it's about relationship. So therefore, you can actually present that it can happen like that.
My question is that we see that sometimes devotees in the course of their service, although they're trying to surrender to Krishna, but they do get hurt and sometimes killed by demons or antagonistic elements. But can you explain why that is?
Why would that happen? It's the key is what you mentioned, trying to surrender. Prahlad is surrendered. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, to that degree, just to go back. So now, in this... The main protection, like Krishna says in the Gita, that one is protected when one surrenders to Krishna, is one doesn't have to worry about ending up in unfortunate situations. You remember Krishna, you go back to Godhead. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the general case. Since leaving here is an important thing, you go back to the spiritual world, then it's not a problem that things may happen. The main point is remembering Krishna. Like Prahlad Maharaj is still around and he's still meditating on the Lord. Right? So he's one of those ones, I think he's Chiranjeev. I think he's one of he'll be alive until the end of the life of Brahma. So then it's natural he would be fine. Right? Well, we're generally not living that long. It means if there is anybody here in the assembly who is Chiranjeev, excuse me, but you understand, Chiranjeev means that you live the life of Brahma, the same length of time. So then things don't happen. So they're in a different category, right? But the basic thing is now what is stopping us from that full surrender? Right? What stops us? Like that. It means we want to surrender, but others just don't allow us, we're just about to surrender, then there's a knock on the front door, we go to the door and there's some three guys standing there in black suits like that, and they say, "We heard that you're about to surrender." you know, like that, and then one of them puts a black bag over your head and they take you away. Is that what goes on or something? Or does that make sense? So the point is what is getting in the way of our not surrendering is some kind of impurity in the heart. So that impurity in the heart has to be removed. So if we surrender, there's no need of any mechanical method because we're not dealing on the mechanical platform. Does that make sense? But if we're not surrendering, means we're dealing with the mechanics of the material world. So generally the way that we'll notice its unimportance is through some mechanical reaction. Does that make sense? So for the materialist, this is called karma. Right? It's just something that's just. You've done this, you'll get that. Whether you've changed your consciousness or not, it's going to happen. Right? But for the devotee, then it's a matter of what will be good for your devotional development. Therefore, then it's Krishna karma. So something that should have happened doesn't happen. Or something that should have happened does happen. Just depending on what's going to work best for your purifying your consciousness so you surrender to Krishna. Does that make sense?
Kind of like the verse, Tattenu Kampam Sushimik Shamana, that the reason that devotees suffer is because we're holding on to the material world.
Right.
And so that's a symptom of our lack of full surrender.
Yes.
So as long as we're holding on, then we have to suffer.
Yes.
In order to show us that the material world is not a nice thing to hold on to.
Yes.
But for a pure devotee like Prahlad, he's already fully surrendered. He's not, so he doesn't need to suffer because he's already.
No, there's no need to suffer. But even if he did, like you see Yudhishthira Maharaj, then they're just setting example. Because who do you know that would have the an empire, which means the whole world, right? You know, you must know a few of them like that, and then lose it how they do. Right? You look at anybody who was an emperor and then loses it, it doesn't work out so good. Like that. You know what I'm saying? It means like, you know, Caesar, it wasn't that he was, you know, so pleasant and nice. Right? Or Napoleon, he was not very happy. You know, so you just see is that people don't adjust well with it, but and they are not even emperor of the whole world. They just take part of it that's bigger than anybody else that they know of has, and then they call themselves the emperor, right? But here you have someone who is actually emperor of the whole world, right? And then how he responds, he just sticks to following Dharma. Because the tendency is to think, because one aspect that could be you used as a background to your question is I'm following Dharma, why are bad things happening to me? Right? I'm doing religious things, pious things, good things should happen, why are bad things happening? But the point is the good results will come. The bad results are from the past. Right? It's not that I chanted my japa now, you know, why did I walk outside and they hit me with a bicycle? You know, what's the use of my chanting? No, the chanting will get you the results in the future. Being hit by the bicycle is something you did in the past. Right? In other words, at the present moment, you're getting the reaction to past deeds. And at the present moment, you're performing activities that will give you the results in the future. Both are going on at once. That's why it's confusing. Because from our mentality, it's got to be one or the other. No, it's two at once. Both are at once. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say I put some fruit in the blender. Two things happen. The fruit becomes destroyed and I produce a drink. You understand? But I don't know, except for Sanskrit, I don't know of any really that this concept of dual results is something that's there in most grammars of the world, of languages in the world. Right? It's not there in French, so it can't be there in anything else, right? So. Does that make sense? You don't have it. It's a rare thing. Academics will agree to it. You know what I'm saying? You get the milk out of the cow because the cow has to, you have to remove the milk from the cow because it causes problems from the cow. But you also have milk in the bucket. Now you have milk. We just think it is one thing. It's